Okay, so to kick things off today, I want to try something a little different. I want everyone listening to just take a second. Obviously, if you're driving, please keep your eyes on the road. But mentally, I want you to picture opening up Instagram or, think about the last fitness magazine you saw.
Oh, I can see right now. Yeah.
What are you seeing?
It's high contrast. There's motion, definitely some sweat. I'm seeing that like grimace of determination. Someone's mid-sprint or they're at the bottom of a really heavy squat
Right.
or holding some yoga pose that just looks, frankly, incredibly painful.
Exactly. You see effort. You see strain. You see someone working really hard. And for decades, that has been the absolute gold standard for fitness imagery. The message is basically, if you weren't grimacing, does it even count? But today, we are looking at a stack of research that just, it flips that entire idea on its head.
It really does. We're diving into a concept called fit fashion.
Yeah.
And look, before you tune out thinking we're just going to talk about leggings or, the latest trends.
Yeah, let's put a disclaimer on that.
Yes, this is actually a deep psychological disruptor. The clothes are just the vehicle for something much, much heavier.
That's it. It's not about the clothes, it's about the mindset behind the image. The sources we have argue this style isn't just an aesthetic choice, it's a tool.
A tool for what?
A mechanism to move women from a state of performance into a state of presence. And that shift is apparently massive for our mental health.
It is. That shift from performing to just being present is described in our material as restorative.
Right.
Restorative for the nervous system. So our mission today is to unpack why stopping the hustle of traditional fitness imagery allows a different, maybe deeper kind of strength to emerge.
Let's get into this because performance versus presence sounds a bit abstract until you really look at the current landscape. We started by picturing that sweaty athlete. Why is that the default? Why are we so obsessed with the grimace?
Well, the source material points out that most women in the fitness industry, so trainers, influencers, they live their professional lives in a constant state of performance. I mean, think about what they're doing in almost every piece of content. They're demonstrating, they're teaching, correcting form,
They're
motivating.
always on, always producing an output.
Precisely. They are leading, producing. And our sources define this mode of value as masculine.
Okay, we need to pause here and be really clear about that word.
Very, very clear.
Because the text makes a huge distinction. When they say masculine, they are not talking about being a man.
Not at all. It's not about gender roles. It's referring to archetypal energies. In this context, masculine means an energy of output.
Output.
It's a value system based on proof, achievement, function. How much can you lift? How fast can you run? It's all quantifiable. It's all about what the body can do.
It's the receipt. It's showing the receipt for the work.
That is the perfect analogy. And fitness culture is just, it's saturated in that energy. It demands that women prove their worth through production.
Here is my receipt, therefore I am valuable.
Exactly.
But isn't that just sports? I mean, isn't the point of fitness to improve performance? Why is that a problem here?
In a vacuum, it's not. Achievement is great. But the sources argue that when your entire value is tied to that output, it becomes toxic. Even for women who are already incredibly disciplined and strong, this constant demand to prove it's just draining.
That's the exhaustion factor the notes talk about. I found that really interesting because it's not about being physically tired.
No, it's deeper. You can recover from a workout, right? A protein shake, a nap. This is the existential exhaustion of constantly having to demonstrate your value. It keeps you in a perpetual mode of doing. You never get to just be.
You're only as valuable as your last rep.
Or your last PR, or your last viral post. And that's a treadmill you can never, ever get off of.
And that is where fit fashion comes in as a disruptor.
It's a way to step off the treadmill, but while still being seen.
So let's pivot to what this philosophy actually looks like, because the sources are very specific about what it is not.
Right. It's not just a model looking pretty in gym clothes.
Oh.
It explicitly rejects the rules of that masculine mode. So in this imagery, there are no reps. There are no poses that demonstrate effort, no midair jumps, no straining under a barbell.
Which is, it's kind of wild, isn't it? A fitness image without the proof of fitness. It feels almost risky for a trainer to post something like that.
Of course, it feels risky.
Like, if I'm not holding a weight, will people know I'm an expert?
We are trained to look for the receipt. We're trained to validate expertise through visible struggle. But by removing those things, you create a vacuum. And what fills that vacuum is what the philosophy calls presence.
I love the list of attributes the source gives for this. Instead of sweat and strain, we get stillness, soft authority, embodied presence, quiet confidence, soft authority. That one stuck with me. It sounds like a total oxymoron in the fitness world. What is that?
Soft authority is such a powerful phrase. It suggests you don't need to scream to be heard. You don't need to flex to be strong. The shift is described as a transition from performance into presence. And the key phrase that jumped out at me was feminine strength without effort.
That's a tough one for a lot of people to wrap their heads around, though. We associate strength with effort. If it looks easy, we assume it must be weak.
That's the conditioning talking. The masculine energy says value equals difficulty. If it was hard, it was worth it.
Hmm.
But this philosophy argues that true feminine power is inherent. It doesn't need to strain. It just is. Think of a mountain versus, I don't know, a steam engine. The engine has to work, burn fuel, make noise. The mountain just sits there. But you know it's powerful. You don't question its strength because it isn't moving.
That's a great image. And it leads us right to the mirror effect. The notes describe this really intense reaction from women who see themselves in this kind of imagery. It says they don't just like the photos, they feel recognized by them.
Recognized. That is a very specific word. And this is the psychological hook. In traditional imagery, a trainer looks at a photo of herself teaching a class, and she sees her role. She sees the instructor.
She's critiquing her form.
Exactly. She's looking at her job, evaluating her output. But in fit fashion imagery, because the job is removed, no weights, no teaching, she's forced to see something else.
She sees her identity.
Yes.
There's that quote in the notes that really got me. I've never seen myself like this.
Which is fascinating, right? These are women who have thousands of photos of themselves.
Yeah.
But they've never seen themselves just existing. They've only seen themselves performing.
So the imagery acts as a mirror, but without the pressure.
Yes. That's the key. It allows a woman to see herself not for what she is demonstrating, but simply for the fact that she is there. It's a validation of existence, not an evaluation of ability.
It strips away the utility. Well, you aren't being useful in the photo. You're just present.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying, but also liberating.
It's terrifying because if you take away the prop, the dumbbell, the action, you have nowhere to hide.
Right.
You can't hide behind your skill. You have to believe that you, stripped of your function, are enough to hold the frame. That takes a different kind of courage.
And the source makes a really bold claim here. It says this isn't about making women look feminine in a stereotypical way.
No, it's much deeper. The text argues that this imagery gives women permission to stop performing masculinity to be valued. That is a profound sentence. Permission to stop performing masculinity.
It implies we've confused being professional with being in a state of constant exertion.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And dropping that mode, it actually does something to the body. We have to talk about the physiological side of this. The nervous system, this isn't just psychology, it's biology.
Right, the sympathetic versus parasympathetic states. Walk us through that.
Okay, so when you are in performance mode, that masculine high output mode, your nervous system is activated. It's sympathetic dominance.
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight, but also just go, go, go. You're alert, your cortisol is probably up, you're mobilizing energy.
Which is great for a workout, you need that.
You absolutely need it for athletics, but you can't live there. It's toxic to live there. Presence, on the other hand, allows the nervous system to settle. It shifts you into the parasympathetic state. That's rest and digest. That's where repair happens.
And so the source describes this shift as restorative.
Yes. For women who are constantly in high output roles, their baseline is that sympathetic arousal. They are always on. Being asked to perform again for a camera just spikes that stress. But here, removing the demand to perform allows the body to rest, even while being seen.
That's a paradox, though. Usually, if you want to rest, you have to hide. You go off camera.
You put on sweatpants and close the blind.
Exactly. But this says, no, you can stay in the frame, be seen, but you don't have to work for it.
That's the critical distinction. Being seen without the tax of performance, that is where the deep restoration happens. You learn in your actual body that your visibility doesn't have to cost you energy.
It reminds me of like an animal in the wild. A deer that's running is stressed. The deer that's just standing there looking around feels safe.
That is exactly it. Stillness signals safety to the nervous system. By embodying stillness, the woman is signaling to herself and to the viewer that she is safe enough to stop running.
And that connects directly to the spiritual angle that's in the notes.
It does. It's a spiritual stance, really. The source material talks about a belief that our value exists simply because we are, not because of what we produce. It suggests that the divine God, however you frame it, doesn't require a performance review.
God doesn't need to see your Strava stats.
Exactly. Your value is inherent. It's a move from earning your worth to simply receiving it.
It circles back to authority. We mentioned soft authority earlier. The text says, when you remove the pressure to announce yourself, what emerges isn't passivity.
Which is a common fear, right? If I stop hustling, I'll disappear.
Or if I stop shouting, I'm weak.
But the source argues the opposite. It says what emerges is a feminine authority that doesn't need to prove itself.
It's the difference between the person who walks into a room and demands attention and the person who just commands it by being there.
Ooh. That's it. One is performance, the other is presence. One is asking for validation, please look at me. The other is just grounded in self-knowledge.
And this brings up a great point about the fitness industry. It is built on motivation. But this approach seems to be offering permission.
I think that's why it resonates so deeply with women in the industry. They don't need more motivation. They have discipline. They are drowning in motivation. What they are starving for is permission. Permission to stop proving they deserve to be there.
You know that feeling when you finally sit down after a long day of hosting guests? Mm-hmm. And you didn't realize how tense you were until you stopped hosting.
Yes. And imagine if you could feel that relaxation while the guests were still there. That's the goal of this imagery.
It also creates a visual disruption. By doing less, the image becomes more powerful in a feed that's full of chaos.
Because it's rare. In a feed full of screaming, sweating, moving bodies, a moment of just absolute grounded stillness is magnetic. It stops the scroll.
It's the mirror effect again, but for the viewer this time. If I scroll past an image of someone flipping a tire, I feel impressed, maybe. But if I see a woman standing in total confidence, doing nothing but looking back at me.
You feel seen. You feel a resonance. It invites you to access that same part of yourself, the part that isn't just your job title or your role as a parent or partner.
It invites the viewer to take a breath, too.
It's a relief to look at.
So what does this all mean for the listener? We've unpacked a lot. Do we just stop working out?
No, please keep working out. Movement is vital. But it means we need to rethink how we define strength. The source material frames it beautifully. It's not about being less strong. It's about strength without strain, confidence without effort, discipline without display.
Discipline without display. That's a keeper. That challenges the modern urge to broadcast everything.
You know you have the discipline. You don't have to put it in the shop window every 5 minutes.
It challenges that saying, if you've got it, flaunt it.
Mm.
This is more like, if you've got it, you don't need to.
And that knowing is where the rest comes from. The anxiety of, do they know I'm good enough? It just vanishes because well, you know.
It's a massive shift. And it explains why this fit fashion concept is such a departure. It's using the language of fashion to solve a psychological problem created by fitness.
That's a brilliant way to put it. It uses the camera, which is usually a tool of judgment, and turns it into a tool of acceptance.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to synthesize this core distinction we've been circling.
If you take one thing away, let it be this summary from the source. Performance shows what you can do. Presence reveals who you are.
That's powerful. And that applies way beyond just fitness photos, corporate headshots, how we stand in line at the grocery store.
Oh, absolutely. How we run meetings, how we parent, are we performing our roles, trying to look like a good parent, or are we just present in our identities?
We're so used to strengths being loud. We think strength is the hurricane.
But the most enduring strength is quiet. It's the mountain, not the hurricane. The mountain doesn't have to tell you it's big.
It just sits there, and you respect it.
Exactly.
And this is where it gets really interesting for you, the listener. We want to leave you with a provocative thought to mull over.
We live in a world that is obsessed with receipts. Proof of work, proof of exercise, proof of happiness. We're constantly outputting data to validate our own existence.
So here's the question. What would it look like for you to value yourself simply for inhabiting your life rather than performing it?
If you stopped the output today, stopped proving, stopped demonstrating, would you still feel valuable? That is the invitation of presence, to find the worth that exists before the work even begins.
Permission to stop performing. I think we could all use a little more of that. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.